Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We need to sing overflow today. I mean, we need some overflow. I love that sweatshirt there. Turn around and show everybody. See what I get on the front row? A big old smiley face. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? The joy. Say joy. Turn to the person next to you and say joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. Receive strength from the Lord. Praise God. We're going to talk about winning today. And the first service, I went totally off my notes, so we'll see what happens on this one. Hallelujah. I'm always interested to find out how second service, and if we do three services, that would be wild, right? Amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 through 27, the Message Bible, we're going to read this again. And we read it last week as an introduction. And we'll find out there's some choices that we have to make to grow in the things of the Spirit, to grow in our Christian walk. Hallelujah. There are different levels of people that have been baby, what we call baby Christians, and those have been saved for a long time. How many of you have been saved over 40 years? Raise your hand. See, we got some 40-year ones, amen. 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, 5 years. Keep going, I'm going to give an altar call. That's one way to find out who hasn't born again, right? We'll do a countdown. Glory to God. And they say, you, get up here. No, just kidding. Lock those doors. Praise the Lord. We're going to get born again today. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul talks about our Christian life as a life of discipline. Discipline. We don't like to hear that word, but it is. We're disciple. It comes from the word discipline. We're a disciple of Jesus, and we're born again. It's free. Doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to give up anything to get saved. Jesus said, come as you are. Amen. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Salvation is absolutely free, but growing in the kingdom of God takes effort on our part. And Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost comes, Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will be the one that is called alongside to help you, amen, in your Christian walk, but He will not do it for you. And that's something that we have to decide, amen? He's with us. He's in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but He will not push Himself on us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He'll show us things to come. The more we get acquainted with Him and yield to Him, amen. But still, it's still our choice how far we go in our Christian life and Christian walk. And the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of an athlete. And so we're going to pick that up here in the Message Bible. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athlete's race. Everyone runs, but one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for the gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after the one that's gold eternally. How many of you know there are eternal rewards? Amen. There are crowns. There are rewards that the Bible talks about us. There's a crown of life. There's a soul winner's crown. There's rewards waiting for us as we run this race here on earth. Glory to God. Amen. So we need to make every day count for the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. How many know there is a finish line? Amen. All of our lives, whether we graduate into heaven like Jerry Savelle did, or we go up in the rapture, there is a finish line. And how many of you want to be said of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Don't we all want to be in that place? Amen? Well done. Hallelujah. So Paul says, I'm giving it everything I've got. Are we giving it everything we have in our Christian walk? Or are we allowing ourselves to be sidetracked? It says, no sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to be caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. All right, it's very important to understand there are people that like to get into other people's business. Come on now. Always have some encouraging words for other people. You need to pray more. You need to do this more. But how much are you doing? We're going to talk about this a little bit. Amen. We are responsible for ourselves, not other people. Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you deal with a splinter in your neighbor's eye. That's like what he said. So, you know, we can't blame anybody as far as our Christian walk except ourselves. There's nobody. Someday when we stand before Jesus, we're not going to be able to lean on anybody else. Amen? The judgment seat of Christ. There is a judgment seat of Christ. Even if Jesus is your Lord, he'll make it through the pearly gates. Hallelujah. But the Bible talks about our works are going to be judged. The works that we do in our life, in our body, after we're born again. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not going to lose our salvation, but the Bible says there's a possibility that we'll lose our rewards. Amen. So Paul says, I'm going to win. I'm going to run to win. I'm not going to just run, all right, but I'm going to be a winner. I'm going to obtain that prize. I'm going to finish well. And that's what God wants us to do, is to finish well, to finish good, to finish our course that he's laid. Every one of us has a particular race that we are to run. Amen? And maybe it's just you building a good family, a good solid family, having a good, you know, just what. And there's, you know, those are called into the ministry. There are different giftings that we have. Well, whatever giftings that we have, those are the giftings that we are responsible for to do what God has given us to the best of our ability, to train as an athlete. Amen? I mean, a person just doesn't decide to run the Boston Marathon. They got to run around the block a couple times. And a lot more, right? Amen. Praise God. They have to train. If they're going to compete, they're going to train. And we are going to train. We have to train as Christians. It's not a sloppy. Paul said, I'm not going to be sloppy. I'm not going to be caught taking a nap. Amen. It's not tea time. But I'm going to finish my course well and win the prize. Hallelujah. And so we see this encouragement by the Apostle Paul. And some people say, oh, no, why do I have, you know, but, you know, it takes a different spirit. It takes a grown-up in the things of God. Hallelujah. We can't remain babies all the time. There's a time of growth. There are times, yeah, when we're born again, we're babies, we're in our babyhood stage, a lot of things we get away with, and God just, his grace is upon us, of course, and we just love Jesus, and we know Jesus loves us, but then there's a time of growth, and there are growing pains involved with growth, amen? Jesus told the children of Israel under the old covenant, of course, we're in a better covenant, but he told the children of Israel, today I set before you a choice. I set before you a blessing on this side and a cursing on this side. You are the ones that are going to choose which way you're going to go. Are you going to take the blessing side or are you going to take the cursing side? And basically, we have the same choice when we receive Jesus as Lord of our life. He said this. He said, God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his dear son. So he plucks us out of the kingdom of the father, our devil, where we were serving him, and he places over us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. But, you know, some people want to see how close they can live to the old kingdom. Amen? But it's time to get fully into Christ's kingdom. That's where the power, that's where authority is. That's where you're going to live a successful Christian walk. You're not going to be bombarded with everyone in Christ will suffer persecution. There's no doubt about that. But listen, we have the authority, we have the power to overcome, amen, everything that the enemy brings against us. Hallelujah. But we have to make that choice. Now, Jesus shows us something here in the book of Luke, chapter 9. Jesus was passionate. It says in this translation, the Passion Translation, Jesus passionately determined. And we have to passionately determine the journey that we're on, that we're going to go the right way, that we're going to finish the course well. But he was going to Jerusalem, and he wasn't going to let anything or nothing, say nothing, distract him from fulfilling his mission. And I'm here to ask you, are you going to allow things to distract you from you fulfilling your mission? You don't have to, it's your choice. You can't blame it. Oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. See, the old school Christianity, oh, well, the devil's just chasing me everywhere. It's time for you to chase him. Hallelujah. We're learning to use authority. He's raised us up, Ephesians chapter 2, and made us sit down together with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and all the demonic activity. The Bible says that Satan is the prince and power of the air. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities of the air. But we've been given dominion. Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will harm you. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But does that all just automatically happen? Does the blessings of God just automatically happen? Why is one person living victory and another one isn't? What are they focusing on? Amen. Are they training as an athlete to win the prize? Or are they just coasting in their Christian walk? Just whatever will be. Amen. And they go 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, still in the babyhood stage. And the Apostle Paul had to deal with a church like that. He said, I can't bring you meat because you'll choke on it. I have to give you milk, okay, whereby you can grow. And the Bible says you desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. So we, even at an infant stage, in a baby stage, a youth stage, you have to have the right nutrition, okay, in the natural. Same thing in the spiritual realm. We've got to make the right choices. So Jesus didn't let anything distract him. And so it says here, as he was drawing near to Jerusalem, he sent messengers ahead of him as envoys to the village of the Samaritans. But as they approached the village, they were turned away. They were not allowed to, they would not allow Jesus to enter, for he was on the way to worship in Jerusalem. And now notice this, when the disciples James and John realized what was happening, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you wanted to, you could command fire to fall down from heaven just like Elijah did and destroy these wicked people. How many of you kind of wanted to do that lately? You just join in with, you know, James and John. Let's just call fire down from heaven, okay? Let's deal with this. Kill them and tell God they died. Well, see, they had a different spirit than what Jesus had. Jesus was not going to allow himself to be distracted. Hallelujah. Amen. It goes on to say, Jesus rebuked them sharply. Don't you realize what comes from your heart when you say that? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy life, but to bring life to the earth. You know, sometimes we need to realize what comes out of our mouth, what decisions we make, is based on the foundation that we've laid inside of our heart. Come on. We've talked about foundation last week. They that build their house upon a sure foundation, upon the rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The wind comes, the rain comes, and what happens? That house stands still. But if you build your house upon the wrong foundation, guess what? It's going to slide down when the rain comes. Amen. You're not going to be able to stand the times and the tests and the trials because they come upon everybody. But when you have the Word of God on the inside of you, and Jesus says, don't you realize what comes from your heart when you say that? You can do a checkup from the neck up. Amen? You can tell where your heart is by the things that are coming out of your mouth, whether you're mature in the things of God. Now, none of us have arrived. We're all growing in the thing. But don't stop growing. You make a mistake, you take one step back, you've got to keep moving on. Hallelujah. A righteous man might fall seven times, but they get up. They get up and they keep going. Hallelujah. They just keep pressing in, even if things are not comfortable. We see now Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. It says he was fixated. He was focused on the mission. Amen. He was focused on the mission. Many times in the Old Testament, it said that they set their face like flint. In other words, they were immovable. They knew what God had called them to do, and they were not going to be moved by relatives. They were not going to be moved by wicked kings. They weren't going to be moved off by anything. And you know, the thing is, we allow ourselves to be so distracted nowadays, especially with social media. Come on now. I caught a lot of the first people. You know, they were looking kind of guilty in the first service. You know? I mean, it's hard. I mean, many of you sleep with your phones right by your bed, and first thing in the morning, you check your Facebook. See if you get any messages from your relatives or anything. Find out if an uncle or aunt died. You know, I had relatives I wouldn't even know unless they did come on Facebook. You know, this is the way society is nowadays. But we do it with a good motive. I'm going to just open this up and just see if there's any notices or notifications from anybody. It's like going fishing and getting hooked. Just getting hooked. And it reels you in. How many of you have fun looking at some of those reels? Some of them are funny, aren't they? You know, they're stupid. But you see one, and then you go to another one, and then you go to another one. Before you know, half an hour has passed by. And you find out you don't have time to do your Bible reading. Come on now. See, that is a distraction. It might not be a sin what you're doing. You might not be looking at anything bad, but it's carnal. It's carnal. Everything carnal is not sin. Carnal means fleshly. It's not doing anything for your spiritual growth. And that's what the Bible says. We have to concentrate on our spiritual growth. It's okay to be entertained. It's okay to watch a movie on TV. I sat down yesterday with my wife and we watched one of the old westerns in black and white. Amen. I like to do that. I like those old cowboy shows with John Wayne, the Duke. Come on, man. Kick some butt. Hallelujah. Or, you know, it comes, you know, the Memorial Day or a different, you know, Veterans Day. I like to watch some good war movies. You know, I just like to do that. But yet we have to be disciplined to know it's time to start and it's time to stop. And not be just into that. You sit down and watch one program, and then before you know it, 6 hours in front of the tube. And what are you doing for your spiritual walk during that time? Come on now. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm saying. We have to make choices if we're going to grow in the things of God. See, the two disciples, James and John, they had a spirit of judgment on them. They judged. They wanted to call fire down from heaven. Well, you know, Jesus didn't have that spirit. There was something different. There's something about a person that's been with Jesus, hallelujah, that they're marked with a different personality. They're marked with a sweetness, an odor from heaven, an aroma that a lot of Christians are missing. Come on now. Hallelujah. I haven't been as mean on you as I was the first service. Hallelujah. Sometimes we look at Joshua and Caleb. You know the story. We use them as an illustration. The 12 spies going over to check out the promised land that God had promised them. And I was thinking about this. You know, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, God kind of brags on Caleb. You know, Joshua and Caleb were the two that came back with a positive report. They said, hey, if God said it, come on, let's do it. Let's have church. Let's conquer. Let's go in and take it. God's already done it for us. I'm healed, man. I praise God. Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pain. Therefore, I'm healed. Therefore, that's it. Glory to God. I prosper in everything that I do. I walk in the favor of God. I don't care what's going on around me. Let's go in and possess the land. They have that spirit of faith upon them. They believe and they confess it with their mouth. So we look at Caleb. And God said this about Caleb. He said, my servant, ooh, glory to God. Now let me give you a secret here. Caleb was a servant. We're a son. Now, let me say that again. Caleb and Joshua were servants of the Most High God. We are sons and we are daughters of the Most High God. We're family. Jesus is our elder brother. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. We're part of the family, people. Glory to God. So I was often wondered if what category would I fit in, being a part of those 12 spies that went over into Canaan land to spy out the land. Would I have had the spirit of Joshua and Caleb? Or would I have come back with a grasshopper mentality, allowing what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've felt to affect my faith in God and the decision of my future? Huh? You're kind of quiet this morning. Hallelujah. Think about that. What would you have done? Huh? It took some tenacity for Caleb to stand up and Joshua and say, don't pay any attention to them. We're well able to go in. Let's go up and once possess the land. They had a different spirit. Now, this is what God said about Caleb. Caleb has a different attitude. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to check your attitude. I'm going to check your attitude. You know, your attitude is what shows. Come on now. Your attitude. Well, 10 of those guys came back with a bad attitude. Joshua and Caleb came back with a God attitude. Amen? God said he has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. Amen. He hasn't been distracted. He hasn't been sidetracked. So I will bring him into the land that he explored, and his descendants will possess their full share of that land. Listen, your descendants will reap what you have sown. Many of your first generation Christians. And your descendants will be blessed by your obedience, even if they might not be serving the Lord now. They're still marked because of your obedience because of your loyalty to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessings to the thousand generations. Glory to God. So he said his descendants will possess their full share of the land. That needs to be your confession for your kids. My kids will possess the full possession of favor, full possession, glory to God, everything that God has for me, they're going to be able to be partakers of that. And yeah, they might not be serving God now, but I declare that me and my house, we are going to serve God. Hallelujah. That my children are born again, that they're saved, and that they speak in other tongues, and they're radically moved by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. And the devil said, well, look at now, look at their behavior. I said, shut up, devil. Of course they're going to be a little bit more of a stinker before they repent. It's just human nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when God begins to deal with people, they get mean sometimes. Why? Because they don't want to relinquish their life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you that might have unsaved spouses. One lady prayed this prayer for her husband. And I've said this before. He was just a mean old brute. Just hell in him, you know, just everything. And this dear saint of God prayed like this. God, hold my husband over hell by a spider web. Let him feel the fire, the heat. Glory to God. Just dangle him there. Hallelujah. Well, what kind of prayer is that? You're not playing with the kingdom of God. Then me and my house will be saved. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There was one testimony of a wife that her husband didn't like her to go to church. She'd have to sneak out. One time she sneaked out. Her husband was an alcoholic, just mean. Just a mean streak, mean character. She came home. He got so mad, he took her Bible and threw it in the fire. And he looked in the fire, and the Bible wasn't burning. Couldn't burn that Bible no matter what. And you know what? He was convinced. Hallelujah. Come on. When leather and pages of paper don't burn, you know something. God is trying to get a message to you. Hallelujah. God will stand with you. He'll not going to stand in your place. But if you decide to stand like the three Hebrew children did, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, he'll get into the fire with you. Come on, he'll get into the fire with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll get into the lion's den with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He'll go where David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely. Oh, not maybe, but surely. Now go to Walmart. Surely. Hey, goodness and mercy, come on. Get me through this register. Glory to God. Favor of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Wherever I go, hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. Woo. Mikey, come on up here. Justin, come up here. They're going to be my goodness and mercy. I just feel like doing that. I tell you they're going to be different. Okay. Yeah. Well, you want to be mercy or goodness?
I'm mercy.
You're mercy. Ha, ha, ha. Oh. What are you, goodness? Ha, ha, ha. Anointing. Glory to God. Woo. All right. See, wherever I go, goodness and mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to Walmart. I speed up a little bit, glory to God. I'm there with me where, hey, goodness and mercy, hallelujah. Sometimes you just want some space. But you know what? When we're the God, they don't give you no space. They're just right on you no matter what. Hallelujah. Goodness. What does that mean? All the goodness of God, all the goodness of heaven comes upon us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And the enemy comes up, and that's when goodness and mercy, they don't stand behind me. They get in front of me. Hallelujah. Come on, devil. Glory to God. Goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a church this morning. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We need to recognize that. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we have a different attitude. See, your attitude will determine your altitude. Let me say that again. Your attitude will determine your altitude. How far do you want to go with Jesus? How far do you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles in your life? Family serving God. Hallelujah. Let's be like Caleb. My servant has a different attitude. Amen. Praise God. Some of you have the wrong kind of attitude and you need to repent of that. Come on. Hallelujah. We look at a person on TV and say, boy, they have attitude. You know what our attitude is? Love. Love. Make me love one another. Then I read chapter 13. I'm not going to do that right now. But I mean, suffering long. Patience. Kindness. Hallelujah. That's the attributes of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that it's the fruit of our spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, we are put off the old man and put on the new man that's recreated in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you got to put off your old self. Say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to act like that anymore. I'm not going to blow off my temper anymore. Hallelujah. I'm going to not be distracted by social media. I'm not going to be distracted by people that I shouldn't be hanging around with. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Tough. Amen. Maybe you need to talk about Jesus more around them. Come on now. They'll either get saved or they'll leave. But at least a seed has been planted. That's the worst thing a new Christian can do is keep hanging around with their friends. Thinking that they are going to somehow pull them into the kingdom of God. Very seldom does that work. Now, I'm not saying you never go back to them and tell them about Jesus. But you need to remove yourself from that company. Because they'll end up affecting you, pulling you back into the things of the world before you have grown enough to withstand that temptation. Come on now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Different spirit. The company that you keep will affect your spirituality. Amen? So maybe you need to think about that. Well, you know, I've been friends with this person ever since high school or junior high or so on and so forth. Well, are they willing to walk your way or are you going to walk their way? Because two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. They're going to either agree with you or you're going to agree with them if you keep company with them. Come on now. That was for somebody here. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord. That goodness and mercy is with us all the time. God, we just worship you. We worship you today. We thank you, Father, that we will make decisions. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that we'll not be distracted. We'll have a different attitude. Hallelujah. We'll have a godly attitude. We'll have an attitude of love. We'll have an attitude of service. We'll have an attitude of giving. Wanting nothing in return. Not selfish. But God, a giving attitude. You said they will know, the world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. Hallelujah. In the new covenant, there's two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you today. Just tell them how much you love them. And you're going to go all the way. You're going to finish the course. So at the end, God will say, welcome, my good and faithful servant. Heads bowed if anybody's here that you don't know Jesus today. I want you to make him the Lord of your life. You know, a lot of people make him the Savior from hell. Well, I've accepted Jesus. But what does it mean to make him Lord? You're going to please him. You're going to do what he's called you to do. You're going to be in church when it's open. Fail not to assemble yourselves together. More so as you see the day approaching. You're going to be hungry for the Word of God. You're going to want to read your Bible every day. You're going to want to witness and tell other people about Jesus. You're going to be a man and woman of prayer. Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just talk to God. Hang around the church and you'll learn how to pray. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. And I said in the early service, there's an emptiness inside of people's hearts, their spirits, that God has placed here. There's a void. I call it a void that people try to fill with all kinds of things. And the only person that can fill that void is Jesus Christ. It's an eternity thing. Eternal, eternal. We all have eternity living inside of us, and we need that part of the puzzle, and that's Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is believe that he died in your place, he went to the cross, and you ask him into your life, make him the Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray this prayer with me, everybody. Heavenly Father, I confess before you now that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son Jesus, whom you love so much, to die on the cross in my place. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for saving me right now. I've called upon the name of Jesus, and the Bible says, I shall be saved. Therefore, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you said that prayer, it's very important. The most important thing after you say that prayer is to tell somebody. It's like you solidify your salvation by confessing Jesus as Lord of your life to somebody else. If it's somebody that brought you, or it's the next step table in the back, you need to stop by there, especially the next steps table. That's why we put it back there. So you can make confession of your Lordship of Jesus Christ and get material that will help you be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you. Hallelujah. Come back tonight, 6:30. We'll have a great time. Praise God.